actors. We've seen actors coming
Lisa.
But I just worry that, you know, we don't see the same level of interest from performers. And we are absolutely delighted that we are able to have Lady Zama coming in and speaking in her own voice about her experiences as an artist, but also as a label owner. So our comments, and that's the first part, Chair, that I want to say, are premised on what is happening now and moving forward. And we're dealing with the past, but now moving forward, simply because a lot of the artists now are also owning labels. So that I must take put at the back of the members' minds. Not a good idea to start anything with an apology, but we do have a future. The first one, as you said, we've taken lessons. We've not numbered our slides, and for that we do apologize. We also do apologize for two members of our team that are not here. Unfortunately, they couldn't make it. I've already indicated, Chair, that I have a team and I've apologized. Manager is the CEO of Walla Boy Records, which is one of the indie labels, and Mr. Lamini, who's not here, is the research chair as well as the managing director of Universal Music. A brief outline. I think concerns are perhaps wrong, misplaced. It's more of issues that we think can help enhance the bill. Issues that will help make the protection of performers better. So we will deal with those issues and we'll be specific on which sections. We'll give a RISA overview. Ms. Sarawan will take us through the state of...
I'm going to suggest that you go straight to the issues because we have a risk, you know,
okay,
that other members, because of the issues of flights, you know, we'll start singing people from 12 moving and we still want IPO to have an opportunity. If we can go to the crux of the issues, the Secretariat did circulate the presentation and your submission, but we want to hear you now to say what are the critical issues that you want to raise with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will raise our critical issues, but I would also ask for your indulgence, Chair, that Lady Zama does have a speaking part and an opportunity to talk.
We'll definitely do that, but let's just shoot so that at least Zama can have an opportunity, like others who are in the industry, to share her experience.
Indeed. The first one, I think everyone has spoken about how the treaties should be aligned with. We support that fully. And I must say at the outset that because we are a recording industry doesn't mean we don't support the bill. We absolutely support the bill. There are issues that we want the committee to consider so that they can enhance those protections. So the first one that we believe must in fact be considered and implemented is the ratification of the Beijing Treaty as well as the WIPO Performances and Phonograms Treaty. Because a lot of the sections that are in the Performance Protection Bill are actually derived from those treaties. So a clear alignment of the two is important. So this slide, Chair, simply talks about the ratification and how we welcome government intervention in that area. There are economic issues that relate to local musicians that we are going to raise. This is just to outline which ones, perhaps because of time, let me just go to those that are specific. So in Section 1, especially Section 1C, is almost an exact replica of the definition in WPPT, however, there's an omission, Chair. And the omission relates to public performance, so we think that the definition as stated in the bill will be helped by the inclusion of public performance rather than the exclusion of it, because it might be regarded as a deliberate exclusion when we think it was just an omission. The second one We think that it confuses the concept of reproduction with that of fixation. We know that fixation is when you first record a performance and making it fixed, and the other one is an act of reproducing what has already been recorded. So we think that by removing fixation and the reference to fixation in that definition will actually help clarify the definition of reproduction. With section 2 and the scope, this one, Chair, I think it will help if we align it properly with WPPT as well as the Beijing, because it relates to how the performances of our local performers will be protected outside of the country, especially in the WTO countries. At the moment, it just limits them the way it's drafted to South Africa. So that is it. That to us, we need to find a way of aligning it strictly with WPPT and Beijing. And I think the drafting of that section can be enhanced from the alignment. A lot has been said about the transfer of rights and the limit to 25 years. We think that there needs to be interrogation. And I say this because you've already heard about the broad definition of performer. We are only concerned with musicians, and our arguments here are mostly on protection of musician performers, who in the main are always paid through royalties. We can argue about the rate, Chair, but unlike others that have said they are not paid, performers in the music industry get paid when a recording, now that we have needle time, we've heard Sampra saying they share 50-50. We know that with audiovisual, RISA licenses broadcasters for the broadcast of music videos and then pay both performers and record companies for that. So they sit in a different space to actors, for instance. So when we look at how we do issues of redress, let's also factor in this distinction between musicians and actors. So the 25 years, in our instance, is going to be problematic in the sense that when you license all the users, whether it's YouTube or it's broadcasters or anyone who publicly performs an audiovisual material, which is music, does so in a blanket license environment. So we enter into a blanket license, they report back to us on a playlist, we then distribute. Now, if there's a limit on 25 years, one worries that what happens after 25 years? What if performers and there are many, I mean, that's the other thing that we need to look at. You would have featured performers in an audiovisual material and those that may be extras. I think that must also be looked at and in a sense, more guidance given. So in a blanket license, it would be then difficult if they do not agree for us to continue licensing that music video. It means we now have to pull it out until the parties have agreed. Now that may pose a challenge. So let's look at how do we ensure that performers continue to get paid for their performances rather than restrict the rights to 25 years. That would be our suggestion. And to interference on contractual relations, I think we have examples. I happen to have sat in most sessions on the Copyright Amendment Bill, and there are provisions on 6A and 8A that specify certain provisions that must be in agreement. Rather than having to prescribe the entire agreement, we think it might, in the end, prejudice the very performer that we seek to protect. So specific provisions, I think, are acceptable, but if it is the whole agreement, then it may just be a problem, Chair. So we've already made recommendations around the 25 years that we think it doesn't apply in the music industry, and therefore it shouldn't be imposed, and that once agreements have been reached, that copyright must continue, or that arrangement must continue for the life of the copyright. We've already spoken about the undue influence. And then what we've noticed is that some of the provision, especially 3B, deals with the protection of sound recordings and the protection of producers. And we think that may be misplaced in this bill, because unless it is an exact duplication of what is in the Copyright Amendment Bill, Section 9, it may create confusion. At the moment, we think the provisions that relate to the producers of phonograms, they may be misplaced and may result in inconsistency and further confusion. So we recommend that 3B should in fact be removed. Now, we've had one section talking about remuneration right, and that in their industry it's perhaps okay to have a remuneration right as opposed to a right of authorization. In our case, we believe that you will be doing performers a disservice if you downgrade the right of performers, which is exclusive insofar as Beijing and WPPT are concerned, to just a right of mere remuneration. We think that it must remain a right of authorization so that they are able to authorize their unfixed performances. They are able to, they have exclusive rights. If anyone wants to record their exclusive, their performances, they should ask for their consent. Okay? So it must be authorized. Otherwise, you get into this situation where people are able to record their performances, put them up in various platforms, make money. When the artists say pay us, then there's a long negotiation around rates, and it ends up in court. And we know that in past experience with Needle Time, we spent 6 years, more than 6 years, fighting users to pay Needle Time. We don't want to put our performers in that. The others, as I said, perhaps it's fine in those environments, but insofar as music is concerned, we request that the full right of authorization be given to performers. And as we said, it might result in costly litigation, and many of those performers don't have money to litigate. And neither do labels, by the way, because we have about 5,000 members as RISA. More than 90% of those members are self-releasing artists, some of whom would be artists that when they get money, they then invest in recording another artist. So we think that let's relook the effects of Section 5A relative to musicians, because that's who we are advocating for. So if we can then align Section 5 with WPPT as well as with Beijing, I think that will enhance the protection. A lot has also been said about the technological protection measures and the reference to the copyright bill, and we think that narrowing that definition, as our colleagues at MNET have said, might help enhance the protection for artists. And I think, Chair, the last one, we know a lot of debate has been had, and we know it has moved a long way into some form of conclusion. One thing we want to highlight around the fair use, fair dealing issue is just understanding that where there are flexibilities, some technological companies might come and want to exploit. And it would then mean the performers must take that chance, as it were, to court, so that the court can decide whether the use is fair or not. And we know that in the States, for instance, if you are found to be a chancer in that environment of fair use, there are punitive damages. We don't have that in South Africa. So as you deliberate and consider, we just think that understand some of those unintended consequences. I think this is the last slide, Chair, from our side. And again, we welcome the efforts of our government to protect performers to further enhance it. It was in 1967. We are now sitting in 2018. These changes are welcomed. It's just those that we've raised that we believe can help enhance the process. Thank you, Chair.
No, it's fine. Let's allow, as you requested, thanks, Mrs. Silzama, to have an input as requested to conclude the presentation.
Good afternoon, morning. Is it still morning? Still morning. Yeah, good morning. I don't know how to address the court, but I'll just say, honorable members. Good morning, Mr. Chair and honorable members. My name is Ms. Banda, and I am sort of speaking as a person who's been in this industry for a very short period of time, but due to how I want to, the kind of mark that I want to leave in this world, I have taken a lot of time to understand exactly what it entails being a performer for a very long time and also being a record label owner. Now, I started out as just being a participant that knew absolutely nothing about the recording industry of South Africa. And I took a lot of time to learn a lot about this industry. And one of the things that I will just bring up quickly is the law of contracts, the contracts of performers. Having them standardized would honestly be a disservice to artists and record label owners, because there are certain advantages that you have when you are knowledgeable of the industry itself. And unfortunately for those who do not always get the opportunity to understand where they're in, some people will take advantage of them, but that is now where certain parts of contracts should then be standardized, but not every single part, because, I mean, as a record label owner, I'm going to invest in a brand that will make not just me money, but the country as a whole, and that will contribute positively and in a economically positive way to the landscape of the music industry. So then I would not give the same provisions, obviously, to a specific artist. And for those who I have to now invest in, and I'm not really sure because I have to take the risk in this specific situation, I'd have to have the standards, in the contract themselves. So standardizing the entire contract would honestly not be beneficial for anybody in the long run. It would also not allow for record label owners to really tweak their contracts so that they get the maximum out of the out of each and every individual. Because one of the things that I keep hearing over and over again as I've been sitting from yesterday till today is that there's almost like a generalization of what an artist is and what a performer is. And what people don't seem to understand is that performers and artists are individuals at the end of the day. They've got specific needs, they've got goals, they have certain things that they want to achieve. For one, something else would be important. For another thing completely different. And what people don't understand as well is that art as a whole is an expressive thing. It's not just something that people should look at and, okay, we're going to have legislature and we're going to have rules and things like that, governing it. But it is also received on based on perspective and interpretation, which is something that I think Sampra spoke on when it comes to the moral. I'm just going to skip through because it's how I usually am. Article 5, moral rights, right? He made an example for gospel artists was to perform somewhere. I mean, was to have a track out and then that specific performance to be played somewhere that they would not agree on. I think those are the things that go back to the contracts themselves, where, example with me, I'm signed to Universal, and I own a record label as well. Being signed to Universal, you were given guidelines on, okay, this is what should happen, this is where it should happen, how would you feel about this, and they then put out these things in the beginning of your career. Now, 5 years down the line, you decide to change the genre that you are performing in. This puts the record label at a great risk because you already agreed to certain terms and conditions, and now because you have decided, most likely based on your own personal experiences and your personal inclinations to do certain things, that you now want to record a certain type of music, it then puts the record label at risk, because when they were investing in you as an artist, they were investing knowing that this is the return they're going to get. When you change the direction, and now you put your the moral rights in such a loose manner, when you just apply them in that sense of they're too loosely oriented to the favor of the artist, then you are honestly making it difficult for the recording industry to stabilize itself and to kind of build on a foundation. Because understanding that each and every artist is an individual, and artists are naturally temperamental, and this is scientifically and biologically proven as well, so this is not in any way a stereotype that I'm putting out there, being an artist myself, we'll find ourselves in a position where, because the moral rights would then be so restrictive and so specific, that the record labels then cannot make enough money based on the initial contracts that were agreed upon. Which brings us to the bargaining as a performer on contracts, which will also go back to the 25 years of, is it the publishing? Yes, the audio vintage, the 25 years. It comes back to that. If you... Oh, okay. If you then put yourself in a position as a record label to allow a lot of that 25 years and the bargaining of performers, it almost makes the contract null and obsolete, in my personal opinion. Because 25 years in publishing world is not even close to enough time to recoup the investment that a record label would make, number one. When that 25 years expires, you find yourself in a position as an artist as well, not knowing exactly where now to go. Because if you transfer your rights, your publishing rights, your audio-visual performing rights, sorry, I just keep thinking of it as publishing, when you transfer those rights to another company or you take on the responsibility of those rights yourself, you have to start again with the administration, with figuring out exactly how then you are to be protected. Rather, allow the 25 years to be almost like a stand... Oh, okay. Okay. So rather allow the 25 years to be a fixed period that does not necessarily end, but almost overshadows into, how do you put it, almost like a continuous contract. In perpetuity, yeah. So that should the performer then decide that, no, this is no longer what I want, then they have that thing of, they bear the responsibility themselves of then saying that I decided that I no longer want it there, as opposed to having a law out there that kind of forces you to then, yeah, the 25 years. For me, that would not make any sense. Now, on the bargaining of performer, I will speak as a record label owner. There would be that thing of the contracts, the established and the developing artists. Now, the developing artists, you are always going to take a risk. You never know what's going to happen with them, and you never know how they will fare in the public sphere. And then established artists, on the other hand, you almost have a guarantee. And this would sound a bit redundant, I know, but what I want to just really...
Sorry, I'm trying to switch my mic on because I want to just... I know, I'd like to just give some guidance to the team over there. The mic here is very difficult to switch on. I apologize. We want you, please, to address the issues in the bill. And you have been doing that. Like the 25 years.
Yeah.
Just address that and give us the proposal, please. All right, Honourable,
okay.
Honourable McLaw.
No, thanks, Chair. My apologies. When I was just holding the fort for you, please, let's do things in the right way. You said Ms. Banda is going to give her experience, and it looks like she has a comprehensive different input. That is not on the agenda. And the hours when we allowed other performers to speak, they spoke because they made submission, shared their input, and now I'm just trying to wrap up what the chair was doing. And now if you want to make substantive submission, Your Excellency, Comrade Chair, let her do that.
And we allow that because I was not chairing when you opened up. The Honourable Ms. Lawball was, all right? Now, if this is substantively different, as chair, as he has pointed out, it is, you would be welcome to make a submission to the committee. Can we click a submission, you know, a written submission plus speak to it?
Okay.
But not at this point. Not
so
at this point.
I can just continue with what my experience is then.
No, unfortunately, my time does not allow it. So I'm going to revert back to you, Risa.
If I may, Chair, and I agree, she may need to do a substantive one. The reason, as I said initially, was that we needed to give a voice to a musician. We didn't want her to say anything that has to do with us. It's her experience, and she must just talk about her lived experiences, both as a performer as well as a record label. So I think in relation to making a substantive submission, Honourable Mashobo, we will certainly ask her to do so. So I think we've concluded, Chair, on our presentation as Risa. It was just to allow an artist a voice, because one of the things we've asked is that the committee would actually be better assisted if there is a musician voice, or voices for that matter, to talk on the bill. But thank you so much for the indulgence. Much appreciated.
It was going and it's now gone. The earlier part of the meeting I struggled, but it's now gone for good. Just allow me to confer with the person, member of the committee I asked to hold the chair for a short while. Thank you. No, to confer privately.
Not for the ears of others.
Appears of the listeners, quite a few people do listen in on the program, and they should. As I said before I rose, I've spoken to the committee secretary, Mr. Hermans. We need to make, there will be some or one or two that we may still need to bring in, and we'll do it then. But let us not conflate this, all right? So I hope you understand that. I only know it's like the Laura label or something. What is your name? Lady Zama. Is that it, Lady Zama? Thank you very much, and liaise with Mr. Hermans. All right, we're regarding that. So if you all move over a bit, we'll then take the Independent Producers Organization, IPO. right? I just want to see, if that is the case, will you be back before we finish, because we'll need to adopt the program? Thank you. All right, let's move on then to EPO, and let's see, I haven't got any of my documents now, they're on your side. Mr. Van Uff, is that right? If you would proceed.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Rudy Van Uff. I am a board member of the Independent Producers Association. That better? Right. So I am a board member of the Independent Producers Organization of South Africa, or IPO for short. The IPO represents roughly 80% of active film and television producers creating TV shows and films for millions of South Africans, and also films traveling abroad. As a brief overview, and I'm not going to read through all of this, I will extrapolate on this, but as a brief overview, we must remember that it is a fragile industry. The reasons for this is it faces intense international competition, fragmenting audiences, the dropping of advertising revenues, public broadcaster challenges, and a monopolistic broadcast environment. Most independent producers struggle to survive from year to year, and since 2008, inflation-adjusted budgets for commissions from domestic broadcasters have nearly halved. This has created all sorts of production challenges. Regulation and policy should therefore be absolutely clear and aim to support the industry and to deal with these challenges so that the opportunities there to do business, bring in investment, create jobs, and drive exports. I have inserted some page numbers at the bottom right. For reference, so if we go to page 2, am I on page 2? Not yet, sorry, there we go. So just to create some context, and after analyzing the DTI publications, which happens annually, so 2017-2018 would refer to the financial year ending March 2018. A comparison between the 2016-17 year and the 17-18 year shows that overall, be it international projects, domestic projects, there's 900 million rand downturn in investment and fewer jobs, 1,647 fewer jobs over that period. To discuss the causes of this, and it's just to reiterate how important clarity and certainty is. A number of these of the factors that's impacted on this has been uncertainty, other policy uncertainty within South Africa, uncertainty with film incentives, and so forth. And we hope that that is being resolved now. But as we can see, that's quite a significant negative impact on the economy. Referring to page 3, with respect to the Performance Protection Amendment Bill, the IPO does believe in fair and equitable compensation for the enormous value that performers bring to the creation of television shows and films. So just to go into the specifics there then of the draft legislation, and referring to section 1D, the definition of a performer, I know other stakeholders have touched on this. And it's really to define what a performer is, and from the IPO's point of view, dealing with the broadness of the definition, and does it indeed include background extras. Global best practice and doing some benchmarking exercises with other territories who have residual systems in place, extras do not form part of the residual chain, as it is basically to fill up background, and they are also most of the time not individually identifiable. So the IPO suggests that extras are not included in this definition from a point of view of practicality and international benchmarking. Page 4, Section 3A, the transfer of rights. I have highlighted some elements within this paragraph and referring to prescribed written contractual agreement, 25 years and novated by mutual consent. With regards to prescribed, the IPO wishes to just get clarity on whom, which organization would prescribe the agreement, and how would that, would it be practical to do so, and does this not leave an opportunity for industry stakeholders to sit around a working table, those who know the minutiae and the absolute detail required within an agreement to protect both the interest of producers and the performers, to sit around a table and establish such agreements. And then also, just to touch on what other stakeholders mentioned, there will be various permutations of these agreements with regards to specific project type, specific genre, and specific needs of a project. So with regards to 25 years, I think everybody else has, this is the downside of being one of the last, but everybody else has addressed this to a great extent, is just to understand what happens after 25 years. How is that being treated or dealt with? And there has been some practical proposals made. Novated by mutual consent. Just what exactly would be novated? Would the what is referred to, the prescribed written contractual agreement, be novated? Would the time period be novated? It's just, again, requesting clarity on that. And proposing then that if there were a set of mutually acceptable agreements in place within the industry, then this could be addressed as well within that. But in the letter of the law, the clarity is still required. Page five. So page five, dealing with which is section four. I assume in the existing act, section five refers to section five about permission, and a person who intends to broadcast, and I've deducted that a bit, must give the copyright owner, performer, or collection society a notice in the prescribed manner of his or her intention to perform such acts, indicating where practical the date of proposed performance, and it continues in more detail. The question arises there of, once a film's been completed or a television series, how does that practically work? Is it that if one has an agreement in place which assigns the rights to the producer to be able to distribute the film, how does this approval, this permission process actually, what is the intent of it? How would it actually practically work? Because it does get then to the to 4C1D of a tribunal. What if an actor or a performer, for example, have unreasonable terms? So it's basically an agreement that was signed by both parties that now gets changed as the performer's requirements or personal circumstances change. It is also in contradiction with 3A, which provides for the transfer of rights to the producer without further strings attached. Once a producer has the signed agreement, the mutually agreed agreement, it empowers the producer to go and source distribution channels for the completed film. This would make the marketability of that film so much less by not providing certainty to the buyers of that film, as to how and when they can broadcast such a film. The next one, still on page 5, 4C1D, the tribunal must adjudicate such matter as soon as reasonably practical and where possible before the performance, which is the subject of the application, takes place, and may make any other any order it deems fit, and so forth. The proposal for a tribunal to litigate the minutiae of a contract is worrying. The added regulatory complexity and uncertainty this involves will hinder our ability to function as producers and contract freely and leave producers and performers to negotiate. So again, does the tribunal stage refer to before an agreement is reached, before a performance? Does it extend beyond that into the timing and the locality of a broadcast? Yes, and just in summary, the IPO is in support of this amendment bill. We just feel that it's very important that it's a clearly understandable, transparent bill. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much then. Much appreciated, even though you're on your own, as it were. In moving from one place to the other, half my documents did not come across. But it's Mr. Van Ass, is it? That's right.
Correct.
Now, we had members did not engage with with RESA. Did you engage with RESA members? Not to my knowledge. And so this gives you the opportunity of engaging both with RESA. And I know that Sampra is here. We asked them to remain on. You would just turn your mic off, please. And also with Ipsos. All right. So to whoever is here, let's have the Honourable MacPherson, number one, second. Right, only one person.
Thanks. To be honest, I found your presentation to be quite confusing and not particularly clear to Teresa. And I'm just trying to understand the lady that was here previously, where is she gone? Yeah, she's left. Okay, well, I wanted to ask her a question.
You see, you can direct that through me.
Okay, but, I mean, it's a bit unprofessional to
make
a presentation.
No, ask me to deal with it, not yourself. You're not chairing.
Oh, okay.
You're dealing with a question.
Well, are you going to answer the question on her behalf then? I'm a bit confused. No, well, she made a statement, well, she made a suggestion about a, excuse or rights to a performance sort of existing up to 25 years and then going on in perpetuity. And contradictory. You can't have something that exists for 25 years and then it goes on for perpetuity.
Honourable MacPherson, you may have just been out of the room when I said she would send back a substantive submission to us and send it on because it was clearly a separate submission. So let us not deal with her.
Well, she made the comment, so
yes,
it was
but
a
I'm
suggestion.
Saying she will be returning.
Okay, well then let me ask Risa. Does Risa support the idea that you have a contract for 25 years and then it exists in perpetuity? Because, I mean, that is contradictory. You can't have... It either exists for 25 years and then you renegotiate that, or from the date of existence, it's in perpetuity. So I don't understand exactly if that is the view of RESA. And if it is, can they substantiate that? And if it's not, can they please be exactly clear about what their view is?
Thank you, Honourable MacPherson. Honourable Chairman.
Thanks, Chair. I think we welcome the presentation, both of them. I think we should do the same approach that you said, that they can give us proposals, like RESA. they indicated this should be removed, this is how it should be formulated, this is how, but we need those inputs so that we know this is how you are proposing the wedding to be like, and then so we'll take it from there. Sure.
Thank you, Honorable Tiako. Yes, with respect to some of the points already made here, I want to just speak with Risa as a start. You refer to, I think it was somewhere here, the investment, etc., that's been put in and the value chain and so on. But what, and you also refer to the Beijing Treaty, but what is not clear to me is with respect to the performers themselves, other than this area of Section 1C, where you referred to the definitions, I haven't got page numbers on the copies, the slides that I have. That to me is very clear what you want. 1F, reproduction, the scope of protection, which you go on to. But I want to look at the second scope of protection without a page number recommendation. On Section 2 of the Protection of Performers Bill, be amended to provide national treatment in respect of nationals of the World Trade Organization, the WPPT, and Beijing contracting parties, as well as protecting the performances of nationals of other countries where the performances of South African performers are already protected. Is that what you mean? If you could explain that when you do respond to all of them. As you know, South Africa hasn't yet signed the Beijing Treaty, and I believe it is our intention to do so, but let's not jump the horse. So that would be with respect to yourself. With respect to the Independent Producers Organization, I'm always concerned, and I do appreciate you gave the list of the executive committee and noted everyone down here, and it would be for me quite helpful to know how long this organization has been in existence, and because you've made some very solid recommendations here. Thank you. Over to both of you.
Thank you, Chair.
Risa.
And thank you, Honorable McPherson, for the question. As I indicated when I was presenting, Chair, I did say that Lady Zama, because she's an artist. Oh, sorry. Now, in terms of our own stance on the limit on section of 25 years, we've already indicated that we would request that that be removed, because we are involved in blanket licensing of music videos, and when we enter into agreements with users on music videos and the 25-year period comes, what happens afterwards? Are we supposed to then withdraw all of that? And so Risa's stance is very clear. Would request that the current environment remains on the 25 years. On the issue of national treatment, we did say that we welcome government's intention to ratify both WPPT and the Beijing Treaty, and that if we are going that route, the current drafting of Section 2 may just be in conflict with those provisions, because in those provisions, national treatment is provided for the exclusive rights of performers. Okay, another one. I think, Chair, I have dealt with the two, unless I've missed some.
Well, there is another reference to the Beijing Treaty, but as you point out, in your opinion, the Section 5A is incompatible with that. But you don't put forward a proposal. So I'm just saying there are many areas that you've made comments on. Please send us your proposals on them, please. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Van Aert.
Honourable Chair, it was established formally in 2007.
Are there any other questions? I think members of the committee have already thanked you for some of the proposals you have already made in this regard. They have been very clear. But what I note here, because I don't see another hand, you note on page 3, performers, section 1D, the definition. In your opinion, it's defined in too broad a way. And we've had a reference to this already. Would it include anyone who just walked past or what? And you're proposing that the legislation adopt the standard definition of performance as per the Beijing Treaty on Audiovisual Performances, to bring it into line. Is that correct? Fine. And yourself then, Ipsos, because you supported the Beijing Treaty, do you agree with that?
Sorry, Chair. We fully support the alignment of the bills with Beijing treaty provisions, absolutely.
At one point,
Honourable Chairco, you were making a reference, I know when Sampra were here giving us an input, it was a reference to RISA there, if you recall. Did you raise that question, or was it addressed when the presentation here was? It was addressed, so it cleared up that matter. Now, members, as you can see from our program here, I'm not sure if all of you were given a program or not, but certainly those who came to make presentations hopefully got one. We would have finished this at 12 o'clock, all right? It's a little after 12, but we have finished the rest of the program bar one item. But I do want to make it clear to those who came here today and for anyone who may have been listening in that if there is anything absolutely critical that you believe has not been covered in the 1.5 days, you would be welcome to put this in a written substantive proposal. But please, apart from the comments as to how you are suffering, that is important for us to hear. We need concrete proposals as alternatives if you believe that what is in the bill does not address the current issue. But I just have one question for Risa. You indicated twice that you preferred what is currently in operation. Am I correct? I noted that before I came on and when I started to chair.
Chair, that was in relation to the 25 years, and we felt that if you are going to limit musicians, we would rather prefer that we have the current only in relation to that. However, in relation to the rest of the amendments in the bill, we fully support
that. That wasn't
clear. Absolutely, we did.
Okay. Because I've said this, and so have others who chaired here in the last 1.5 days. What we are amending is a 1967 Act, and much of what we take for granted today did not exist then. And anyone who would tell me they were satisfied with the Act, I would be surprised. It would be clear they were in a time warp. So we welcome proposals how to bring it into line with the 21st century one, how to correct the injustices that were practiced and present in the Act in the past. We now have this opportunity. And thirdly, where there are ambiguities in the bill, please alert it to us to that. I noticed some of you gave us proposals on definitions. That's very important that our definitions here do not conflict with what is in the copyright. absolutely critical. The two go together. Now, we're not arts and culture, and unfortunately, because I wasn't handed the list of everyone when I arrived here this morning, I only noticed that the DG of Arts and Culture was here after I walked past him earlier. You are all welcome, and thank you for continuing to be here. I also know that the DDG of Trade and Industry has sat with us all along, apart from many others who've been here with us from the departments. But in future, the decision is that we are going to invite other portfolio committees and other departments who are stakeholders, who have a mandate for one reason or another in this industry, to assist us in bringing this, the new bill, the amendment bill, into the House for adoption. So please continue to write to Mr. Medema or to myself. It is better to write to him, because then he'll make sure all members of the committee get that information. Is that clear? Thank you very much. So for the members of the committee here, I was told the Honorable Matlobo would be here by this time, and he's not here, but I believe we've got a quorum. Just going to see. You've seen this program. We are six. I'm six. Yes, I'm six. You have seen this, but in case there was any change to it in terms of the timing because of plenaries that have changed as well, we reissue it. Please make sure. Have you distributed it? There were no substantive changes, put it that way. There were changes to accommodate SABs. You remember the SABs issue? We had to accommodate that there. And you will see that we've got a status report of SABs on the 28th of November. Do you see that? Yes. I don't see any other major problem here with the program. Honorable Williams?
Chairperson, I'm not available on the 3rd and the 4th of October. No, Chairperson, I made a long-standing family commitment, and so I...
All right. Some of you would appreciate that the constituency period went from the 17th of September to the 8th of October. Honourable Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. I'm attending classes in MMU. However, I think maybe I'll be around here, but I'm having classes on those weeks, Chair. I'm not available. Yes, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chierko. Yes, Honourable Kacharya.
Chair, the 3rd and 4th of October cuts into constituency period, and we've been already, as we are today, sitting here, which affects us, so I think we need to reconsider those.
I just want to remind members that this is not new. It isn't new. The only new thing on here is SAB. But I'm just pointing that out. Obviously, we like to accommodate everyone here. Honorable Buyani, because I see what you have here is the DTI's response to the submissions, which it's very important that all of us get the benefit of that, is it not? Just talking to all of you. And then we got the advocate, our legal advisor, her input on the submissions. The SASA has been there for 6 weeks. No one complained. No one. So this is why I'm a little bit surprised about that, about the third. The Continental Free Trade Agreement is new there. You remember we were going to do it on Monday or Tuesday. Yes, Honourable Tierker?
Let's adopt it in principle, but you take note of our concerns that we are raising as members on the issues of the third and the fourth.
I am taking note of them, but it does mean that we'd only have three people here. That's why I'm raising that. We wouldn't have a quorum. A quorum is four. A quorum to open the committee. So the point I'm making is this. What is new that you haven't seen in the last 6 weeks? Or rather, what was there? SAFTA was there. SAFTA was there. It's not new. The Continental Agreement is new there. The DTI and the Advocate are new. Do you follow what I'm saying? So we're going to have to look at one of these days, and I'm looking at all of you, where, now I hear what you're saying, but I also want to hear what others are saying as well. We need to bring in one of these days. It's fourth would probably not suit people. I don't know. I'm not suggesting we'd be doing what we're doing on the fourth. But the point I'm making is that we need to deal with SAFTA on, we've given a commitment to them in writing. But can I have a proposal? I can't do this in principle agreement because we're going into constituency. So let's put it another way. Let's look towards the end here. On the 9th, nobody would be having a problem at all. On the 8th, is it possible for us to come back on the 8th, which is a Monday? Yeah, I'm talking about Chief Whip now. Is it possible for us to look at the 8th of October? I really need something constructive, members. This is not a new program. It's got two new things in, which are not in that period. Honourable Kachalia, followed by the Honourable Buyani.
I'm aware of that, Chair. Apart from constituency work, I have and speaking for myself, I have a party program which involves a trip to another part of the world, which is currently being set up. But because of the delicate nature of the visa arrangements, it's not quite clear. I cannot give you complete assurances here, but I will as soon as I can.
Honourable Buyani?
Chairperson, thanks. I think Monday latest we can come on the 8th, because the first one on the 3rd of October, I think that one is will be difficult for us to be here. And we can also, on the 8th of that will be Monday. Yeah, I think that one. If you can be a bit later, because you know
what you are saying.
And also check. I'm not so sure. I wanted to check. The last time we checked, this was waiting for the Chief Whip to approve. Yeah. So I'm not so sure these 2 days have been approved by the Chief Whip. Thanks.
Proposal by the secretary, which may accommodate everyone. he's indicated to me that SAFTA would be prepared to shift. All right? So at least, you know, people are working in the background as we talk. Now, that has been addressed. That was my main concern, inviting people and then putting them off again. Then when we're looking at the third, let us shift what is on the third in direct relation to this bill. We shift that down, and Mr. Herman is proposing we deal with that on Tuesday, 9 o'clock, regardless of what party political arrangements exist. 9 o'clock on Tuesday the 9th, and we then move from Tuesday the 9th, and we go till 9 o'clock if we have to. But obviously that's not the intention. Right. Okay. So can I have that agreed to first? Yes, Honourable Chair?
Agreed, Chair.
Seconded. Thanks, Honourable Williams. Now, let's come to what was on the 4th. On the 4th is a little bit difficult. We've got to work with finance. That is a joint meeting with finance. So can we ask Mr. Hermans to consult finance and then propose something? Not now, but later. Yes. All right, very good news. We won't be needing finance. It was just that they were very happy to be with us on the Tuesday. So he's shifting that down. The deliberation on the performers will be shifted down. On Tuesday, I want everyone to please agree. We are, wherever the venue is, at 9 o'clock to start. And we'll finish at 9 if necessary. Right. I want to thank all of you. Thank you. Right. Meeting adjourned. Until the 9th, but you will be getting SMSs and emails.
No,